The title of the message for today for the church, by the way, this is a very important message. If you could just have you, if I could have your ears. I know you tend to do that, but it's a very, very important message about submission. Okay? And the title of the message for this afternoon is Be Subject to Every Human Institution, or Submit. Submission. Submission is a biblical, godly thing at the core. Let me just repeat that because it's such an important statement. Submission is a biblical, godly thing at the core. Say a nation invade this nation with guns and sword. You will submit because of fear, but you will never submit at the core. Do you understand? But Christianity is submission at the core. That's what Christianity is. That's what the gospel is. And it begins with the submission to God and to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And have you submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? I'm really asking this question. Have you submitted your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Without it, you're not going to submit. You know why? Because sin by nature, we were born in sin, and sin nature at the core is seeking your own kingship and your own autonomy. You want your life to be run in your own way. You make money, you use it for yourself. Use your life for your pleasure. You never want to submit. Okay? In other words, you are the God of your life. That is why sin is personally offensive to God. Because God is the God of this universe. And sin by nature is you want to be the God of your own life. Okay? Human beings are born like that, and you live like that, and you're going to die like that. Jesus said that. You're going to die like that. You're going to die in your sin. John chapter 6. Can you imagine? You die in rebellion to Almighty, and then you stand before Him. Could you picture that? Because that's going to happen. That's really going to happen. Okay? Here's a question for you in the beginning of this message, because I told you this is an important message. Do you submit in your heart to the government? You know, you may say, what do you mean? It's a democratic government. It's a, you know, pro-choice government. But do you submit to this government at the core, or do you rebel? Do you make laugh of our president, our governors, and they're just like jokes in your life? Let me ask you a little bit, something more pricking. Do you submit to your parents at the core? I'm really asking you this question. Do you submit to the pastor of your local church? Or do you just kind of live your own life? And my real question is, do you submit to the Lord? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? Or is He just kind of like somewhere there for you, for the things that you need? Okay. It's interesting because one clear sign and evidence of a truly converted person, which I believe from many, many years ago, from teaching of Malachi and as well as in the Gospels, his and her heart will turn to their fathers. Do you care about your fathers? It'll turn the heart of the children to the fathers and fathers to their children. Or do you feel resentful deep inside, angry, bitter, keeping the distance with indifference? I'm really asking you this question. One clear sign, an evidence of a truly converted person, your heart will turn to your fathers. Bible says, when the Messiah comes, I know that's true, and the heart of the fathers to their children. If your heart is far from that, There's something not right about your heart right now. And I've been asking this question. Have you submitted to the Lordship of Jesus over your life? And you submitted to a local church and your pastor? I asked this question. Who's your pastor? Is he really your pastor? I'm a freelancer. A lot of people are freelancers. You know, there is no room for that in the biblical Christianity. There is no room for that. People just kind of hanging out, just jumping here to there like an amusement park. I have no respect for that because that's totally not biblical. Right? Can I just... the submission, word submission is hupotasso, which means you place under militarily. That's what hupotasso, submission, is. And submission is Christ-likeness. Who is the prime example of submission in the scripture? Jesus, right? Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equal with God, but he humbled himself and he became a servant. Do you hear it? That's Christianity. And if you live as a freelancer, you're completely not living Christian life. Okay? Submissiveness is Christ-likeness. And Jesus is the prime example of biblical submission. Last week, we talked about the grand purpose of your life. On this side of eternity, you are kingdom citizens, but you are living in this world for the time being as sojourners and exiles. And how do we suppose to live? And the purpose of our existence, the big picture, is to proclaim his excellencies. Okay? Whether you as a teacher, whether you're as a pilot, whether you as a store owner, it doesn't matter. You are to live to proclaim his excellencies if you're a kingdom citizen. That's the big picture. It's not for you to go get through the medical school, dental school, and you pass the bar so you can make 6-7-digit figures, so you could buy the things that you've been dreaming about for all these years. No. Scripture clearly says, he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who have called you out. We have started church plan last week. I went to the first Sunday worship service last Sunday at 3:30, and there were about 15 people. Okay, it was a good service, and it was just good service. Same message that I delivered here last week, I delivered. And then a week later, which was yesterday, we actually decided to have a prayer meeting at Stony Brook, at Hicksville, biweekly, just going back and forth. So we all went over there and we had a prayer meeting together, and we had like bagel breakfast lunch together. And then I had a Bible study with the new church plant leaders. It was a good Bible study. And after everyone left, and one person stayed behind, one young man stayed behind, who graduated from Stony Brook, and he said, "Pastor, you know what? Last week, when you were preaching, this stuck with me." He's been so anxious about his future. He couldn't sleep about job and his future. Where do I live? Where do I go? And basically, you spoke on the first message, Christianity is all or nothing. And I woke up in the middle of the night. He woke up in the middle of the night. It's all or nothing. So he said, "I gave my life to Christ, my all of it." Right? And then he said, there's another thing you said. Something really stuck with me. The difference between a religious Christian, religious people, and a true converted people is how they view their own sin. Religious people don't care about their own sin. They just kind of brush it off, never deal with it. But truly converted people, you take it seriously and you fight you fight that spiritual battle and you take it to the cross. And you know what? I did that. I didn't even ask what happened. He stayed behind and sharing these things. You know, people are living in darkness. You may be living in darkness right now. Without Christ, you are definitely living in darkness. This morning I woke up, And I was meditating and I was thinking about, what does it mean to have a submissive heart? Do you have a submissive heart? Sin by nature, you're not submissive. Until you fully be broken and surrendered to Christ, you're not going to be submissive. You're not going to be submissive to your parents. You're not going to be submissive to your pastor. You're not going to be submissive to the government. You're not going to be submissive to anybody. So what does that look like? And I was thinking all of a sudden, wow, the parable of the prodigal? Two sons, right? Youngest son, bad son. Ask for inheritance from the father before he dies, which is an unthinkable thing to do in ancient times. Even right now, you can't ask dad, you know, like, can you give me the inheritance? Like, you're going to die anyway, so let me have the inheritance. It's sort of like that. It was a horrible thing to do. But the father gives his share without much haggling for some reason. So what did he do? As soon as he gets his inheritance, he goes far away from the father, right? And he squanders his wealth, whatever you want to picture, and he ended up where? In pig's pen. For Jewish young men to end up in pig's pen is like the bottom of the bottoms. He ended up in the bottom of the bottoms. Try to feed his stomach with pig's food, pig's pot. But there, Spirit of God shine light upon his soul. What did he remember? Father. Remember, your heart will be turned to the Father. He goes, you know, even the servants in my father's house, they live better than this. What am I doing here? I need to go back to my father. And then he said to this, you know, I'm going to say this to my father. I am not worthy to be called one of the sons, although he is a son. So treat me as a servant. That's heart of submissiveness. That's heart of submissiveness. So he came back and father greeted him, of course. And then there is another son, right? Who's supposed to be a good son, always with the father, doing the things for the father. And he is, you know, he was a good son. But when the younger son came back, prodigal came back, he was bitter. And what did he do? He would not even go into the banquet celebrating return of the youngest son. And basically, I'm not going in there. Dad, all these years I slave for you, and you don't even give me not even a calf, but a goat. So he was so demanding, righteous. You know what that is? That's the spirit of religion. That who do not know the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first is the heart of the submission. Are you submissive? Or are you? What's the opposite of submission? Rebellion. Rebellion, basically. Sin by nature is rebellion. Okay? We are called to live this life. If you really believe in the scripture, God, death, judgment, heaven, and hell, we have a X amount of time here. You do. That's all you get, X amount of time. In light of eternity, I hope. What are we supposed to do? Proclaim the excellencies of God who called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Okay? And we are called to live as a citizens of God's kingdom, and yet we are sent into this world as the light of the world. What does the light of the world supposed to do? Shine. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, like a city on a hill cannot be hidden. Can you imagine you try to hide New York City from the satellite? That's impossible. That's what Jesus is saying. Light, city on a hill cannot be hidden. If you are a Christian, it cannot be hidden. The world is in darkness. People are anxious. They can't sleep. They are so anxious and addicted to all kinds of sin and darkness and living in indifference. And you are to shine upon them. Okay? How do you do that? Let those people see your good deeds and glorify God. because of your good deeds. It cannot be hidden. So we talked about that last week, and today, in light of that, I want us to look at today's text, okay? Let me start from verse 11. He's speaking to Christians. This does not apply to non-Christians. If you are not in Christ, this doesn't make no sense to you. He's speaking to Christians who are living in first century under persecution, dispersed diaspora, under persecution, and he's encouraging people to live like Christians. Okay? Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles, migrants and immigrants, that's what it means, literally. Okay? Sojourners, you're just passing through, you're migrant. Exiles, you're temporarily resident, immigrants. That's who Christians are, migrants and immigrants, to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. And I explained to you, that's with the Holy Spirit, you're fighting spiritual battle, fighting your sin. If that's not happening, nothing external will last. Religion tells you, you change your outside, and hopefully your inside will change, which will never happen. But Christianity and the gospel says, if the God changes your heart and your nature, your life will change. How many of you do believe that? Would you say amen? Absolutely, that's the gospel, people. Do you see the opposite nature? Religion tells you, if you do this right, your heart will one day change. Never happens. By nature, your DNA, it is so self-autonomous, self-glorifying, sin nature. No one seeks God, no one understands God, no one knows God. No one does good, not even one. That's the spiritual diagnosis of the scripture. You do no good. Only by supernatural birth, only by supernatural transformation of the Holy Spirit, your nature changes. And you live as a light of this world to proclaim His goodness, whether as a dentist, whether as an engineer, whatever your profession is. Okay? So how do we live that? Beloved, I urge you to live as sojourners and exiles, abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your life, okay? Keep your life among the unbelievers, Gentiles, honorable. You know, persecutions and all kind of accusation, it'll never stop. Do you remember? Christians were accused as insurrectionists. That term is not unusual to Americans right now. Christians were insurrectionists. Just so ridiculous if you think about it. Christians were accused as immoral people. So opposite of what the scripture teaches. Christians were accused as cannibals, eating human flesh. So ridiculous. Christians were accused as people who are destroying families. So opposite. Accusations will never stop. When I preach here, people always tell me, Pastor, why do you preach something relevant? Why do you preach about sin all the time? Because Christianity is about sin and salvation. Apart from that, you will never have true freedom. You will live as a slave to sin. You don't think that's important? People always accuse. Always accuse. What are you doing with your preaching? Rather than, God, speak to me. I'm desperate. Humbly listening. We're so proud, right? So proud. So that when they speak against your you as evildoers, they will accuse you, they will slander you, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation. Perhaps one day you will come to understand of the gospel and you will remember true Christians. See, my daughter was so patient with me. I was such a jerk as a father. They will see that. See, my husband was such a patient person with me, showing the true Christianity while I was such a jerk all these years, persecuting him. Okay? So here is today's text. Be subject or be submissive. For the Lord's sake, that's the key statement. Because you submit to the Lord, you submit to anything else. Until you submit to the Lord, you're not going to submit to your parents. Not at the core. You will kind of look down on them. Ah, what a hassle. Oh, when are they going to change? At the core, you will never submit. You will never submit to your pastor. You don't have a pastor. You live on your own. Bible says, pastor means shepherd, by the way. Shepherd means you are a sheep. And the idea is the sheep without a shepherd is a dead meat. That's what it is. We need to be led by the shepherd, as Jesus is our good shepherd. You will never submit to anything. You will never submit to the government. You always criticize. What a jerk. What a jerk. What an idiot. Bible says, submit for the Lord's sake and pray for them. Okay? So, this teaching about submit to the Lord's sake for every human institution, including government, whether it be to the emperor, as supreme. It's interesting. What kind of government is Peter talking about? He's talking about Roman government, which was persecuting Christians to death. And Bible is saying, and Peter is saying, submit to them. How do you do that? For the Lord. That's the key. That's the key. Is Lord sovereign over history? And the answer is yes. If you believe, then you could submit. Otherwise, you don't submit. Okay? For the Lord's sake, every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme or the governors, as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. And here is the key statement. For this is the will of God. How many of you desire to live according to the will of God? Would you say amen?
Amen.
Let me explain something. Bible is not a how-to book. How to live a life so that I could have a good marriage. You get that in Barnes and Nobles. I don't know, we don't go there anymore. Bible is not a how-to book. Bible is not how to live so that you will have a prosperous life. It's not that. You know what the Bible is? Bible is about a book how you live to God. Because if God is real, he has to be the greatest reality. How many of you agree with that?
Amen.
If God is real, he has to be the greatest reality. Because you will stand before him. You will be accountable to him. If God is real, God is sovereign, he's got to be the greatest reality. And Bible is not about how to book so that you live what kind of life, but it is about a book how you live before the Lord. That's what the Bible is. Can I just share in Galatians 2:19, we prayed through this verse yesterday. It says, through the law, I die to the law so that I may live to God. In other words, just explain it quickly. Through the law, which means it's not my effort, not my achievement, not my trying, none of those. Scripture, like gospel, is not about that. Through the law, I died to the law so that I may live to God. When you were born in Christianity, right? When you're born, Bible says you're dead to God, which means you don't hear God. You're not concerned about God. You don't seek God. You don't respect God. You know nothing of God, every single human being. But when God supernaturally resurrects you, then you become alive to God. Are you alive to God?
Yes.
Are you alive to God? I'm really asking you, are you alive to God? Are you concerned about God? Do you communicate with God? Do you obey God? Do you listen to God? Do you care about things of God? If not, you're dead to God. You are. Scripture says you're born as dead to God. But Scripture says, through the law, I die to the law so that I might live to God. How does that happen? Galatians 2:19. Next verse is, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Living by faith in the person of Christ is what it means to live to God. Otherwise, you are dead to God. You are living as a dead person to God. Are you alive? Okay. You're never going to submit to the government, as the scripture says, because that's the will of God, until you submit to God. You are not going to submit to your husband. Bible says, submit to your husband as to the Lord. You will never submit to your wife as Christ loved the church, because you don't know what submission is. Your heart is not submissive. Your heart is rebellious. You will never submit to your parents, not at the core. Externally, okay, Dad, I'll be there. Okay, I'll do it. I'll take the garbage out. But you never submit at the core. You live as a rebellious person to all authorities. Okay? The key is submit to every human institution for the Lord. For the Lord. What does that mean? I think two things. Number one, when we say Lord, for the Lord, that's the will of God. And how can we possibly listen to that? Because he is sovereign over history. Unless you believe that, you will never submit to him. Okay? And I thought probably the best real example, biblical example of this kind of life as God's people is written in the Old Testament. I shared this in a couple years ago. In Jeremiah verse 29, listen to this. I want to give you historical background. Israelites were God's people, but they were so bad. So what did God do? Destroy the nation. Wow. Is that what God did? Yes. Destroy the nation of Israel. Desecrated the city of Jerusalem. And send as captives to this country called Babylon. That was the superpower of that time. Imagine... might not be a good example. Russia, okay, invaded by this small country, and basically a country was desecrated, and the people were taken as captive to the capital, to Moscow. That's not a good situation, but that was the hand of the Lord. And they were captive for how long? 70 years. 70 years. Could have been all of your lifetime. You're living as a captive. But that's history. And who sent these Israelites and God's people there? God did. Okay? Here's the situation. And this is what God speaks to the people who are captives in Babylon through the prophet Jeremiah. This is God's word. Listen to this. In that kind of situation. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. God does not hesitate to say that. God is the one who set the boundaries and the time of your dwelling. That's why you're living in New York right now. Here's what he says. Build your houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat their produce. God, so random. We are captives. We are slaves here. But God is telling his people, build your house, live, okay, in them, and plant gardens, and eat their produce. And then he says, take wives, and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage. What is he telling? Continue to live. Get married. Have children. Okay? So that you may bear sons and daughters, multiply there, and do not decrease. Okay, up to that I could understand. But what God is about to say next is really, really beyond us. This is what God says to the captives in Babylon. And seek the peace or shalom of the city. Which city? Babylon, who destroyed their home country, taking them as captives. And God is telling them, seek the welfare or shalom or peace of the city. I have sent you into exile and pray for the city. Pray to the Lord for the city, on behalf of the city, for its peace. In its peace, you will find your own peace. Do you get the message? This world hates Jesus. We see that from the scripture. But God taking us out of this world as kingdom citizens and sent them back to the world, and he's telling us to live as a light of the world. That's what our life is about. If you catch this, would you say amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, you're living in darkness, confusion. You don't even know what you're living for. You don't. If the scripture is the truth, if you live opposite to this, you're living in darkness. Okay? And then God says to the Israelite, he continues to say, do not let your prophets, false preachers, false pastors, tell you and deceive you, and do not listen to dreams that they have dreamed. You know what? There was always false prophets, even this time. No, it's not going to last 70 years. God loves you, and he's going to deliver in you 2 years. There was always false prophets like that. You're going to be prosperous. It's not going to be 70 years. There's always false prophets like that. He says, don't listen to them. For it is a lie that they are prophesying to you in my name, but I did not send them, declares the Lord. And then he continues, the famous verse, for thus says the Lord, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will visit you. Remember the visitation of God? I will visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. I'm going to restore you. I'm going to bring you back to this land, but it's going to take 70 years. You need to be disciplined and purified. That's God, people. Okay? And then the most famous verse in Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, and declares the Lord, and plans for your peace, and not for evil, and to give you a future and a hope. You know what? You know why we could submit? Because God has a plan for you. That's why. It's not a blunt, stupid, ignorant submission. It's because God is sovereign, and God has a plan for his people. Would you say amen? That's why. That's why this makes sense. That was mine. Sorry about that. What's the purpose of government? Scripture says, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to governors, as sent by God to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. That's the purpose of the government. Government does not save you. But it is the government, it is the institution that God has established. So that evil may be regulated and punished, and those who do good will be praised and exalted. So that there is some sort of order, not anarchy. Because if there is anarchy, the gospel of Jesus Christ cannot go forth to save his people and to complete God's history. God needs to have that kind of government, which are the servants of God, the Bible says. Romans chapter 13 says, as Paul's teaching about government, let everyone be submissive to the governing authorities. This is the scripture, okay? For there is no authority except from God, and those who exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will incur judgment. Scripture is very clear about that. God has established Mr. Biden to be the president of the United States. And you need to submit to that. Would you say amen?
Amen.
If not, you are going against the will of God. That's what Scripture is saying. If you think about it, the most extreme example is when Peter wrote this. By the way, a few years later, he was crucified by Nero, the emperor, just a few years later after he wrote 1 Peter. How do you like that? Nero was the most notorious Caesar who persecuted Christians systematically all throughout the empire. And yet, Scripture is saying, be submissive to the human institution for my sake. I hope you listen to what Scripture is speaking to you. Okay? That's the design of the government. And Romans chapter 13, 4 says, For the civil authorities or the government is God's servant for your good. They are, and we are called to pray for them. How many of you pray for the government and the president and the governors? Would you say amen?
Amen.
Very few people. Scripture says you should pray for them. Okay? That's scriptural teaching. For he is the servant of God, an avenger of who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoers. Historically, Nero beheaded Paul and crucified Peter upside down. But the proper aim of government is to dam up the river of evil that flows from the heart of men. If there is no government, guess what's going to happen to this world? It's going to be an anarchy. What happened in Rwanda in 1992 will happen in the United States. Tutsis killing all, Hutus killing all the Tutsis. What happened in Yugoslavia will happen in this nation anytime. We need God's institution of government so that it'll dam up the river of evil that flows from the heart of man so that it does not flood the world into anarchy. That's the purpose. That's the idea of God. Okay? Governments do not save, but they are to maintain external order in the world so that saving message of the gospel can run triumph on its own power. Do you see the big picture? God is running its course right now. But without government, it's just going to be such an anarchy and chaos. God instituted governments to punish the evil and to praise those who do good, so that there is some sort of order, external order, so that the gospel message may go forth. Okay? Verse 15. For this is the will of God. That is the will of God, people. Will of God is to be submissive. Are you submissive? Are you submissive to your parents? Are you submissive to your pastor? Are you submissive to the government? But the real question is, are you submissive to the Lord? Or you are living in anarchy? I'm really asking you, people. And I pray that Lord will wake you up tonight and you'll repent like that man. You need to repent. Because you're living in rebellion if you're not living to the submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Okay? This is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. You know, all kinds of accusation, all kinds of slander, it'll never stop. It'll never stop. People accuse. What do you preach about sin all the time? What do you preach the same thing all the time? I hear all kinds of stuff. What do you preach the same thing all the time? You know, I don't know. I don't know what they meant, but sometimes people accuse all kinds of stuff. It'll never stop. But God is telling his people to live a life above reproach, honorable, so that they may see your good deeds. And once, hopefully, when God visit them, they'll be able to remember you. Okay? Just two more verses. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as cover up for evil, but living as servants of God. This verse is saying Christians are not slaves to the government. We are servants to God. We are free people. We are not slaves to the government. That's why we are grudgingly obeying that or be submissive to that. Out of reverence for Christ, we submit to our government. And it's only possible because for the Lord's sake, because he's sovereign and he has a plan for this. Would you say amen? That's what the scripture is teaching. We do not submit to the government as slaves of the governments or the institution, but as free people of God's kingdom, submit to our authority for the purpose and sake of our Lord. Basically, is this, our allegiance is to the Lord and his kingdom first, and then the government. That's why you could submit to this government, because that is the will of God. I hope this makes sense to you. We have been delivered from present evil age, from the world, from slavery of sin and guilt. Have you? Are you slave to sin? So many people are. The whole world is, unless God delivers you. But Christians were delivered from present evil age, from the slavery of sin, and the elementary principle of this world. If I lose my weight, everyone will love me. That's elementary principles of this world. If I could only have this, everyone will respect me. Kind of elementary principles, lies of this world. You've been set free. Now we are his people of his kingdom, and we submit to him. Okay? And this submission is not with rifles and knives, but with the great love of the cross. That's why we want to follow him. Can I just ask you? You don't have to say amen. How many of you really submit to Christ and follow him? Would you say amen? I know there are people. It's not everybody. You are born as rebels. We are all born as rebels. You are by nature our rebels. We are so stubborn, so ignorant, living in pig's pen, thinking that we have everything. You know, the picture that I have is, you go to the best hotel and have a buffet, you're still living in a pig's pen without Christ. You're still living in a pig's pen without Christ. And the only hope that we have is when God shines light upon your mind. I need to go back to the Father. Because when the Messiah comes, it'll turn the heart of the children to their fathers and father to their children. Absolutely the case, people. If that has not happened to you, you need to come to Christ. Okay? I want to just close with the last verse. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. And honor the emperor. Sounds like a random statement of things, but there is a clear progression as Christian. Okay? We Christians, as a kingdom citizens who have been saved by grace, we ought to honor every human being, including unbelievers. Absolutely, created in the image of God. Men, women, servants, masters, doesn't matter. We are called to honor everyone. But above that, we are called to love the brotherhood, referring to Christian brothers and the church. Do you see that change? And above that, there is a reverence and fear of God. There's clear progression, people. And this is how we are called to live. If you are in Christ, saved by grace, by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Respect everyone. Honor everyone. Treat them like human beings. Don't look down at people. Migrants and immigrants. Doesn't matter. Treat them with honor and respect. But love. Love your brothers and your church. And fear God. And honor the emperor. That's the scripture. Okay. Our first allegiance is definitely to God. Not even my marriage. Okay? Not even my family. It is to God. Okay? Second is to his people and his church. And the third is the rest of the world. I pray that this will be clear. Have you submitted to the Lord? Have you submitted to the church? I'm really asking you. Because this is the pastoral ministry. Because you don't submit until you fully submit to Christ. You're a freelancer. which I have no respect of, because that's not biblical Christianity. Have you submitted to the Lord? Okay, let's pray together.